Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, iPads are great for live events, and we've got a few ideas to help you out.
Plus, those smaller iPad rumors, they just won't quit. And Office free for the iPad, we'll talk about it.
All that and a little paper karma on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Ford, featuring the EcoBoost engine with turbocharger and direct injection. Look for EcoBoost on the 2012 Explorer and Edge, the 2013 Escape, and at Ford.com/technology. And by Slingbox, which can turn your iPad into a television. With a new iPad app from Slingbox, you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you go. Check it out at Slingbox.com. There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
A whole lot of show.
Going on.
Yeah.
Hello, Sarah Lane.
Hi, Leo Laporte. How are you?
Well, I am great. I'm all excited. We're going to talk about the iPad this day.
Yeah. Hey, we thought we'd
do
something.
Why do you laugh at me like that?
We're talking about the iPad on the show today.
Why are you laughing at me? That's what the show is called.
Because
iPad.
I am happy. I am laughing because I am happy and gay.
You're gay?
Gay as in the way that the word was originally intended.
In many, many years ago.
Joyful.
Happy.
Yes.
So today we talk about live applications.
Yeah, so... Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, so we...
Stuff you would do while you're doing something else. Watching live TV,
Live TV or something that's going on that you want to participate in a live way, or maybe you're watching something or it's a social network attached to it. The idea, I think, that a lot of people are realizing is the iPad is one of these things we just kind of have next to us on the couch, even if we don't feel like getting the laptop out or being in the office.
Show of hands to our audience. How many of you, just let me show, hold up your hand. How many of you have the iPad on your coffee table? And it's just sitting there on the coffee table waiting for you to sit down and watch TV.
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if I'm watching a movie that I paid for on iTunes and, like, the lights are dimmed, maybe I'll put the iPad away. But I don't ever watch TV without it now.
See, it sits on the arm of my couch.
Well,
iPad presently on the coffee table
well, you
in
know
my
what,
lap.
You know what we
but
mean.
But you know, I mean, in the vicinity of the television viewing area.
Yeah.
And near the bathroom. Somebody says.
Obviously not everything that we're watching is live, but when live events happen, it's the I always pull from my iPad and it's like, let's fire up Twitter, let's see what's going on, because it's fun to be part of something.
It does actually seem like the perfect device, more so than a computer, to have with you while you're watching television or you're doing something else. I use it, and since we're talking about live apps, and I know you use it all the time, I use Path. I use it, believe it or not, I do use it on my iPhone a lot and my Android phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Path on the iPad. And
well,
we've talked about that
the
before.
The photos look good because they've scaled them nicely.
They do the full size. So this is an iPhone app that's doubled and yet looks great. By the way, get used to the doubling, because I think more and more we're going to see apps like this on the new Retina display iPad. Even our iPad apps will all be doubled until they start doing quadruple size apps.
You're right.
So get used to this particular look. This is the kind of thing that I do when I'm watching TV. In fact, if I go to my Path, I bet you half of the pictures are me watching TV. Not of me, but of the TV picture. I like to do that.
It's
saying
from,
I'm watching
it's a first
Sherlock
person
right now.
Perspective.
Yeah. So that's an example of a live app, an app that, you know, you use to kind of keep track of something else you're doing.
You know, one app that was just released yesterday, Storify for iPad.
What do you think of this? Because I'm dying to know. I hadn't had a Storify account, but I immediately downloaded the iPad app.
Yeah, it's great. So anybody who's not familiar with Storify, you can go to Storify.com and get a sense of...
It's free.
The iPad app is free and the service is free as well. The idea is to be able to curate a lot of content from a variety of sources around something. So, Chad, if you just click into that live tweet
like
and open Pinterest? Heart surgery. No, it's not, because you're telling a story in not necessarily completely linear fashion, but damn near. So This was a surgeon experiment that happened recently where they pretty much streamed a very...
Live surgery?
Yeah, open heart surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is something that a lot of us, we don't have access to. So this is a curation of
tweets. Don't show the pictures.
It takes a while for it to get gross.
Doesn't get gory yet.
Photos, okay. There are videos, you can do quotes, stuff from YouTube,
wow.
And so on and so forth.
So it's a new form of television in a way, where it's a multimedia production around a live event.
Yeah, well, so I put together something on the iPad version, which acts a lot like the web version in almost every way, except for the fact that once you publish something, meaning once you make it public... You have to go back into the web version to unpublish it, so to speak, almost the way you would with a blog.
Right.
But I put together something on my iPad here. Yeah, so it's like, let's just say, this is sort of a fake event because we're still in iPad 3 rumor mania.
Well, it's not a done event.
Yeah, it's a...
You might conclude this event with an iPad 3.
It's a developing story.
Right.
Yeah, so I've put together, here's a quote from Fast Company.
You know who used this to great effect? Dan Patterson, formerly of ABC News, for his coverage of Occupy Wall Street.
Yes.
He put together a Storify story. It was very cool.
A lot of publications.
So it's a new kind of journalism.
Very much so. And a lot of people say, well, you know, all you're doing is really cutting and pasting from other sources. But that's what we're all, that's what research is.
That's what Pinterest is.
It's almost putting a visual,
right.
You're showing people visually kind of where you're going.
But, it's not just other people's stuff. It's your stuff, too. For instance, it ties into all your social networks.
Yes. Yeah, so I've put together, I've got my Twitter account I'm attached to, so I can search through my tweets, or just any tweets. If I was like, hey, what's going on with iPad 3 right now? I could just go ahead and do a search. Facebook account actually only pulls from my own Facebook photos, but you can share your Storify projects out to Facebook.
And you probably, as I do, I have a lot of photos on Facebook. That's kind of where I'll put my path pictures and other pictures.
Sure.
So that's a great place for at least pictures I want.
Yeah, but it depends on what your story is going to be about. Instagram.
Right.
As well.
Same thing. Although you can do other people's Instagrams on this, can't you?
Yes. So I can search from my own account or
right.
I can search for, a certain keyword. Hopefully people are using the right kind of hashtags. Or you can just go straight to the browser because obviously not every service is just going to have the stuff that you want. So I can look for a particular
That's
quote
neat.
From Engadget on iPad 3. So, okay, so you get the idea. We'll go back to my Storify here. Here's my title, a little description. I've imported a tweet really easily. We got a video. Here's a story at The Verge. I put this together kind of just for example purposes, so not all of the stuff is really the best story. But we've got a Flickr photo.
The Flickr thing is great because you can search for any tag on Flickr, so there's a lot of things.
Exactly.
But it does raise the issue, and this has been raised about Pinterest as well, that you are using other people's content, much of it not yours, copyrighted content in many cases, to create something that you can then... Now, you're not publishing it. You could publish it on Facebook, though, right? You could publish a link to it on Storify on Twitter. So you are publishing it, in effect. So what is a copyright?
Well,
people are starting to say, watch out, because people are going to start suing people on Pinterest. I don't believe that's the case.
Well, Pinterest is a little bit of a different situation.
Well, this is similar, though, isn't it? I mean, if you take a lot of other people's contents
yeah.
and share it out in a Storify story on the...
But here's the thing. Okay, so this is my Storify story.
Right.
And
does have
this picture
references that, back to
everything. That I looked at on Flickr.
Right.
Here's the original user.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you link
yeah.
straight to it. But even if no one ever clicked to the original link, you get credit, like a photographer credit. Same thing with Instagram. So, and then once you're in Storify, I can...
So have you used this a lot, or see, I look at it and I think that's cool, but I don't have a use for it yet.
See, you can like
look at that. Isn't that cool? And
yeah,
you can rearrange,
great. And it looks really nice too.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes in a nice format.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you can rearrange and you can just write something specific. You don't have to even drag anything from in there if you wanted to write your own notes. And then later that day,
right.
and then there's another set of tweets that you want to reference. I love this because think about if you were to. Live blog something. So the Oscars
right.
that are coming up on Sunday, and I'm probably going to be on Twitter doing all this stuff. But if I wanted to put together something that could be maybe a blog post or something that a lot of people could actually get information out of rather than just silly little
right.
one-liners every once in a while, Storify would be perfect. And yeah, the desktop version is a little bit more robust, again, as far as giving you just sort of capabilities and accessing your settings. But as far as being on the fly, the iPad app is great, and it's free, and it looks really nice.
And when it uploads it to Storify on the desktop, so You could start on the iPad, but if you want to do more stuff, you can always do that on the desktop from the Storify website. In fact, you could even do it on the iPad from the Storify website if
exactly.
you want.
Exactly, and I can have a variety of stories that I'm working on. You know, I had another story that I started over here. But let's say that I was done with my iPad 3 Rumor Mania story, and I was, you know, pretty proud about it. I'd go ahead and publish it. Again, that's just on Storify for now, but it does give me some handy-dandy shortcuts, like here's the URL to copy, send it to people. It suggests a tweet and a Facebook update, but something that you can say no, I don't want to say that. That sounds too generic. And then of course you can toggle on and off for Flickr for Twitter and Facebook, which is very helpful. And then it has kind of this neat thing where if you've put together something that you're pretty proud of, you can, because I had added a Fast Company tweet into my Storify, it'll say, hey, do you want to notify Fast Company that they made it into your Storify project?
Yeah.
Fast Company probably doesn't care that much about my Storify, but
a few
it's
other
the context.
Stuff. Like, for instance, if I use something from you, I could have it notify you. Mm-hmm. It's also, it's a little weird. I did that and I notified myself, which I thought was a little strange, but I knew then.
Right. Well, so but you used one of your own tweets.
It tweeted to me, yeah. So it tweeted to me that I had just referred to myself in my own.
But that's something in settings where you could have said, no, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
You probably.
I don't like auto-tweeting.
No,
I'm sure
nobody.
I pressed the share button and it wasn't clear that that meant you're going to tweet this. You know, it says there's a button that says, let Leo know. And I did.
And
that's how it did it.
Well, I mean,
just be aware.
You read it.
I did it. It wasn't a lie.
It did what you said it would do.
Exactly what it said it would do.
So that's Storify. It's free. It's totally worth a shot, especially if you are a news junkie and just want a different example of how to put a bunch of information
together. And the thing I would almost recommend is maybe you're not going to use this, but do go to the Storify site and look at what people have created from Storify, because it's not just that surgery. There's so much interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there are, again, anything from individuals, politicians, news organizations. This is something that you can use as a tool to read and get a lot of information, even if you never feel like putting this together yourself.
I think this is kind of the new
really
journalism.
Cool.
I really do. I think it's very intriguing. I mean, anybody could basically curate a bunch of tweets, some images, video, and so forth, and basically tell a story about, let's say, as the GOP debate, which we just saw, or some guy in a costume.
And I think a lot of people might say, well, if we all just have the same tools and we don't really have to write articles with paragraphs and everything anymore, there's just going to be too many of these Storify wannabes. But you could say the same thing about Twitter, and the cream does rise to the top.
Right.
You follow people on Twitter who are trustworthy, who are on top of things, who get to the information first or better.
And that's the other thing to point out, is that this has a Twitter model, in that when you use the Storify site, you don't, it's not in the app, but when you use the Storify site, you follow people.
Mm-hmm.
So you will have a Storify feed of people. For instance, I just followed the Australian Broadcasting Company. ABC News uses this, not ABC in the U.S., but ABC in Australia uses this. And so here's what they did. Kevin Rudd resigns as foreign minister, and here's the social interaction, a link to their story at abc.au. I think that this, now they're right, looks like they're only aggregating tweets, but there's a lot of potential there, even for a professional news organization to use this for something.
Absolutely.
Very intriguing. And you can see why people are excited. I have to say, I'm unhappy that the app has so little of what's on the website. It doesn't have it's really for creation.
It's
only
for creation.
That's
check out, if you're not familiar with Storify, like Leo said, go to storify.com, get familiar. You can subscribe to certain accounts and then, you know, go for it on Storify. But the iPad app is completely free. So if you're already a fan, it's a no-brainer.
Now, GetGlue's been around for a while. In fact, I think we have badges for iPad today on GetGlue.
Yeah, we do.
And for Sarah Lane on GetGlue.
And GetGlue is extremely popular. I know Eileen loves GetGlue.
She's a gluer.
Yeah, she's a gluer.
Yeah.
It's the verb. You glue.
You glue. She's gluing.
Yeah, but we
so what is it? I don't get it.
Talked about it on the show in a long time. The idea behind GetGlue is it is almost like a location check-in app, except that it's about watching, listening, or having a conversation around a certain topic, like a celebrity or a book, rather than a place.
So
but you check into the conversation.
So you don't check into a coffee bar, you check into Game of Thrones.
Right. Exactly. So, and Get Glue has, from its humble beginnings, when we first talked about it on the show, and the Get Glue guys have been really nice with us, and yeah, sent us some
they gave us some adorable stickers. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some Twit stickers and yeah. iPad Today stickers. The app has been updated quite a bit, and it's gorgeous. It's if I'm looking at my check-in area now, right on my iPad, I've got all sorts of just very obvious suggestions. Are you watching a show? Are you watching a movie? Are you thinking about something in particular? Are you drinking wine? I guess it's the figure people drink a lot of wine when they watch things. Are you playing a game, reading a book, and so on? If I go to my stream, I can see who is doing what. So here are check-ins from people I'm subscribed to. I'm not really subscribed to that many people on Get Glue, so that's sort of a not that interesting area yet. And then you've got the public feed as well. Rodrigo is watching War Horse. Oh, that's cool. Let's say that I either loved War Horse or was like, hey, is that good? Is that worth my time? I could go ahead and reply to his check-in and get a conversation going. Any good? With Rodrigo, who I don't know. But now all of a sudden I've got a conversation and we've got a common ground. Or I could say, that is such a good movie. I love the 1 hour in thing with the horse. I haven't actually seen the movie, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But that's the idea behind Get Glue. Now, if I wanted to check into something like, ooh, let's see, what am I interested in right now? TV shows. Oh, yeah, the 84th Annual Academy Awards. That's on Sunday. Very interested in that. That actually hasn't happened yet. So this is where Get Glue can be a little bit... you can't really check into something that's not actually happening, but Get Glue does allow you to do that.
So you can you can create new things.
Yes, you can create new events. This is actually something that I think Get Glue created because it's a really big event.
Right.
But this is the event, so I can go ahead and that's kind of funny. Earlier I could say that I could check it. There are a bunch of check-ins. I'm not really sure. I'm not seeing that anymore. It's probably I could go ahead and check in up top. But I'm more interested in just like being part of the conversation that's surrounding the Academy Awards right now. What's wrong with my iPad? Good grief.
It doesn't want you to do this.
No, it doesn't. So I've already said that I liked it and I favorited it so that when it is live, I can
You'll
go
be ready.
Back.
You just
yeah,
go
I can
in
go
there
back.
And
for
chung
me,
chung.
Some people really like, and you'll see this on Twitter unless you've somehow blocked Get Glue. People love saying, I'm watching right. Sarah and Leo on iPad Today.
Right.
That's one way to use it. Another way to use it is to be a little bit more under the radar. It's not so much about blasting that information out. It's about having a conversation with other people that you either know. You can subscribe to a bunch of your friends if you're all Get Glue users and basically talk through the next Vampire Diaries, for example. Or you can, connect with people like me and Rodrigo on War Horse.
You know who loves this, of course, is the content companies because they really understand now, especially, let's take the Oscars, which are coming up, that people, if they start using tools like this, watch more TV because it kind of interacts with their, mm-hmm. and making it social is huge. Speaking of Oscars, should I show the Oscars app?
Well,
it's coming up.
That's about as live TV as it gets. Even here on the West Coast, you can't say the same thing for the Grammys.
No, I hated it. The Grammys were delayed.
Isn't that awful?
The Oscars are live this year.
They show you the red carpet live.
I know.
And then you have to wait 3 hours. Go do something else. Stupid.
So the Oscars are coming up February, what is that, the 27th? They're coming up Monday.
No, Sunday.
Sunday. That's right. They used to be Monday. Now it's the 20th. What is that, the 26th? And
they
I
were
did this
on
last
Mondays?
Year. They used to be on... Yeah, like just a few years ago.
No, Leo. That's
they were on Mondays.
Zero. No. Zero chance of that happening.
Really?
I mean, not in the last 20
years. Was that my imagination
years.
That they were on Mondays?
It's Oscar Sunday. It's Oscar Sunday. Anyway.
Anyway, I would like to say that last year I watched the Oscars with the iPad Oscars app on my lap, and it was great because one of the things that they do is there are 8 or 9 other cameras. So you can have a backstage camera and watch they have a camera of the statuettes. You can watch people mugging and stuff. It really is a lot of fun. Now, of course, you're going to have to download it now because we're 3 days away, but this is the backstage pass, and it's kind of hard to tell because, this isn't active until the show is on TV, but you'll see they have all these different cameras. You can see the control room, which is so much fun. You can see the red carpet area. They have a backstage area. Right now, there's a lot of stuff on here that you can get ready for. For instance, we were just doing our Oscar picks. We were doing our ballot. And so here's a way to do this in using Facebook to do your Oscar picks. So, of course, it will promote. This is the official Oscars app from ABC and the Oscars. And they have a lot of shorts right now, so you can start to look at some things. And there you go. So they're looking at the makeup. There's best dressed, things like that. So we'll just go back. But I'll just give you, so there's some stuff to look at right now, but I just want you to say, get this now so that you can be ready for the Oscars when they come up Sunday, because they were on Mondays until 1999.
The Oscars moved to Sundays in 1999? Are you kidding me? No. I still don't believe you guys.
That's because you were 11 when that happened. And so
1999? I was like 21. 22?
I grew up watching the Oscars on Monday nights. That's why I remember that. But the schedule is on here, so you don't have to get in a fight or anything like that. Well, that was the weird thing. It was like, they did them on Monday. It was like, are you nuts? What are you, crazy? Who's watching TV on Monday?
Why do I not remember that? I guess wasn't paying attention.
Anyway, this is a great app. It's absolutely free. And I think if you're... I happen to like the Oscars. For me, it's the Super Bowl for me and my people.
Me too.
So I'm very excited about this, and I love getting ready for it. It might help you actually prepare for your ballot, because there's lots of information. You can watch the tweet stream using the hashtag #PoundOscars. They're going to add that to the feature set. This year.
Especially because almost nobody, unless you are a really hardcore film junkie, and I see a lot of movies, but I haven't seen all the movies that are up for nominations. So you can at least get a better sense of, what was that movie? I have no idea what this movie is. You see a little short or watch the trailer.
This is just so great. Remember when, you remember this.
Many traditions in the movie business.
When
always be nice to people on the way up.
Sally.
Your career should suddenly begin to lose altitude.
That's Jack Lemmon, the great Jack Lemmon.
Always answer your phone.
Wow, he looked different.
No matter who else is in the car.
I love him. Remember Sally Fields on the Oscar?
One of the better traditions.
You like me.
Yeah.
The happier tradition.
So you've heard everybody talk about this.
Last year's best actor to present this year's best actress. And here to
so this is the, actually the whole thing.
Right,
I could probably
is Mr. Robert Duvall.
Yeah, this is
skip
probably
ahead.
Two minutes too long.
But she's going to win.
You know, she doesn't actually say, you like me, you really, really like me.
Well, let's find out. What did Sally
Field say?
Actually say?
And the winner is Sally Field in Places in the Heart.
And, of course, who could forget her? Oh, I just feel like we're here on the red carpet.
Oh,
this is so exciting.
Sally. Congratulations. She deserved it.
Now, let's see what she says.
Oh, Benton, what you did for me. You changed my life.
Oh, they're truly always acting, aren't they?
This means so much
all
more
right,
to me this
all right.
time.
Come on.
I don't know why. I think the first time I hardly felt it because it was all so new.
That's what she said.
Wow.
I owe a lot to the cast, to my players.
She probably says it right at the end, and we're going to watch this one.
All right, let's go right to the end here. And there's the applause. And 12, 11.
I think you just...
Thank you.
Go back.
Oh, we
now
missed
we
it.
Now we have to see it. Gosh. Leo...
my players.
Oh,
to
Lord.
Lindsay and John.
Yeah.
I owe a lot to my family for holding me together and loving me and having patience.
I'm so sorry
for this
I started
obsession
this.
Of me.
I'm sorry you did too. It's all right.
But I want to say
In
thank
fact,
you to you.
I don't even want to watch the Oscars now.
I haven't had an orthodox
now.
Career.
Shush.
And I've
she
wanted
was the
more
flying
than
nun.
Anything to have your respect. The first time I didn't feel it. But this time I feel it.
She said that again.
And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
Oh, my God. A moment she wishes never happened.
So, no, that's one of like her most beloved moments. God, it doesn't age well, though, does it?
It does not
You're
age
like,
well.
Oh,
and
Sally,
there's,
stop
and
it.
There's about a dozen of these, which
yeah.
is really,
that's, you
really
know what?
Fun.
Okay. I almost teared up just then.
Did you?
Even though I was making fun of it, because
Aww.
That's just the sort of thing that You're... I imagine, like, if I was up there, I'd be, like, really nervous.
Well, and you know, Billy is hosting this year.
Yeah, I'm
and
excited.
And they have some best moments from Billy Crystal hosting the Oscars in previous years. So this is, I mean, I have to say, for a free app, This is great, and if
Fun.
You're an Oscar fanatic, you're going to love it. You do want it before Sunday night because you'll want to be able to cast your votes and do all of this stuff. It's called the Oscars, and it is available This is the official app, free on the iTunes Store. You like me. You really
I do.
Like me.
I do.
No,
right now.
You
I
hate
do.
Me.
I can't deny
you
it.
You really hate me.
For all the links to the apps that we just mentioned, you can visit us at twit.tv/IPT. That's where we have all of our links for each of our show episodes. They're numbered nicely. You can't miss them. And if you ever miss a show...
they're numbered in order.
They are.
It's kind of amazing.
Even though it's funny, in iTunes, they're numbered out of order. So, well, anyway, that's a whole iTunes
We number
thing.
Ours in order.
Yes, we do. But it's also where you can watch past episodes. If you ever miss anything, just go ahead and click on the episode that you missed. And we've got the video embedded very nicely for you there. If you scroll down, that was
nice
last
hat.
Week. Yeah, wasn't it? Look at you. You're like, what up, dog?
What up, dog?
What Ryan? Up? If you scroll down, you'll see that we've got all of our links to everything that we talked about on the show. So that's a handy-dandy type of a thing for you. Don't worry about writing anything down while we're live. And if you have comments on the show, this is a great place to do it in a particular episode. And I'm going to be better about being in there more regularly because now that we've got our nice new site, people are using our comments a lot more. And I don't want you to think that we're not also in there. So thank you very much to everybody who participates. And a quick reminder, if you're not watching us live, that we record iPad Today on Thursdays, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. Please join us live if you can. It's fun to chat. A lot of people are giving me grief for me saying that I almost cried about Sally Field. But you know what? I'm an emotional woman. That's in my DNA. But if you don't watch us live, again, you can always subscribe and watch our show whenever you want at your heart's desire.
Did you always want to win an Oscar? Is that why you cried?
I still do.
You still do. And it's not too late.
Well, it's,
no, the career
I think
could
it's
begin.
Too late.
It's, you know what I use as an example? Ed Asner.
Uh-huh.
Never won an Oscar.
Right.
But he became an actor late in life.
Yes.
Somebody just carried a chair through.
Way to go. Good work, Greg. Just doing a show here. Just doing a show.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a break and come back. We've got funny hats still to come. Don't go away. In fact, I think you're going to like my app cap more than you really ought to. You're going to like me after my app cap. You're going to love me after my app cap. But first, let's talk a little bit about... Go ahead, carry another chair right through there.
It's fine.
I was like, Ed Asner, never mind. He became an actor late in life. He had great success, Emmy Awards, and I think he started in his late 50s. Okay, just saying. It's not too late. You got 20 more years.
I don't really, no.
It's, you could.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that'll be my next goal.
Never happens for women, but
now,
it could happen.
Now I've succeeded in all other aspects of my life.
Right.
The
now,
Oscar, Best Actress,
Harrison
is my
Ford,
next big thing.
At your age, was still a carpenter.
That's not true.
No?
You know how old I am? I'm very old.
How old was Harrison Ford in his first movie?
You know what I want to talk about? Ford.
Ford.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Blue Oval, my friends. You know, I'm a Ford. I have friends, and they say this, and now I know what they mean. They say, we're a Ford family. We drive Fords. So, you know how sometimes you go, I believe in these guys, and I believe in their cars, and I am a new Ford family. When I got that 2010 Mustang, man, that was it. It was over. I love that car. And I got to tell you what Ford is doing with their next generation automobiles. We've talked before about the electric engines, the hybrid engines, the plug-in hybrids. But even in the gas engines, Ford is doing amazing things. Take a look at the EcoBoost engine. It's I first experienced the 2.5-liter EcoBoost in the SHO, the V6. They have now EcoBoost engines in their bigger utility vehicles like the 2012 Explorer and Edge that give you incredible performance and gas mileage. How do they do it? With some very advanced technologies. Direct injection, which produces a cooler, denser charge that generates more power per drop of fuel. And then those two small engine-cooled turbines, the turbochargers, are really a clever way of getting you turbocharged performance without the turbocharger lag. They're smaller. What happens is the energy from the exhaust spins them up, compresses the air going into the cylinder, and then it gives you much more efficient output per liter, which equivalent of better fuel efficiency and better power. You'll get instantaneous low-end torque responsiveness without turbo lag. It's just incredible. Now, the 2013 Escape is coming in 2012. That will offer a 2-liter and a 1.6-liter engine. You can find out more about it. And by the way, EPA estimated 28 highway miles per gallon on the 2.0-liter EcoBoost engine on the four-wheel drive. That's in the large utility class, best in class.
It's more than my
28.
My little car gets
28.
That's for sure.
Ford.com/technology. Ford is the future of automotive engineering, and you're going to love every minute you spend in a Ford automobile. Drive one today at a Ford dealer near you. Moving along to the news of the day. Are we really going to get smaller iPads? What are you doing?
I'm moving along to the news of the day. I don't know what I was doing.
We are moving
to
the news of the day.
You know, it's important to keep active. A friend of mine just got a blood clot in his leg, and it's not going to happen
not
to me.
Not funny. It's not funny.
No
sirree.
Yeah, so the last week's big news was, even though Apple hasn't come out and said it yet, they're pretty much the last one to report that, yes, we're getting an iPad 3, and the specs look much like many of the rumors have hoped for, LTE.
Well, but it's still only a rumor.
It's still only a rumor.
And it was so funny to see the gadget site say, I think Apple Rumors said it, confirmed Retina display. Confirmed by Apple? No.
No. Confirmed by people familiar with
some other guy.
Matter. Yeah. Now.
But I think we're right. It's March 7th.
Yeah.
I think, but we don't know, that it will come out within 10 days, but some people say longer.
Yeah.
So I think by this time next month, by middle of March, certainly you're going to be able to get an iPad 3. And so we're going to replace these. I'm so excited.
Me too. Mine's starting to feel so old. No, I'm just kidding.
Do we
still love them?
They said rumor confirmed Retina display. Do we feel that that's accurate?
I feel that. Well, there have been pictures. What was it? It was at 9to5Mac.
Yeah.
That had a picture of a case where they were able to zoom in enough, to see. I don't know. These are the sorts of things where it's like, what we have right now is a big bucket full of rumors
right.
from sources who have been right in the past.
So we're. I think
so
it's true.
So it's one of those
but
things where
it's
an educated guess.
I don't buy, which is that Apple, and I think the Journal published this, Apple is testing smaller iPads.
And we talked, I think it was last week, where we both said, or maybe it was Tech News Today, I'm not sure, but
it
I definitely
was.
Talked about this before, where,
yeah.
where it seemed like, this is a weird rumor, this doesn't seem very Apple-like, especially if it's not also going to have a Retina display, because
right.
Apple's not so much in the business of rolling out something that's subpar after they've wowed you with something that's the next greatest thing. However, the rumors will not stop. There's a Taipei-based market researcher who says, "Yep, smaller display is undergoing tests right now over in Taiwan." However, what Apple would do is not—it's not like next month we're going to get an iPad 3 and then a mini pad, whatever they would decide to call it. This would be something for the 2003 year to be released potentially around the holidays. So all those people who bought that Kindle Fire this coming holiday season, anybody who already bought the iPad 3 would have already bought it. It doesn't really affect any of those sales, but it would be more of that holiday season, great gift type thing, smaller, more affordable.
I don't buy it, but we don't know.
We don't know.
But it doesn't sound like something Apple would do. It seems to me that there are a couple of things. One, they don't want to. They always talk about fragmentation on the Android side, which means various screen sizes. They don't want to do that. What they've done in the past with the Retina display is doubled. As we mentioned earlier in the show, you just double the size of the display, and that looks pretty good. It scales pretty well. It doesn't make sense they would do a screen size that isn't a factor of two, bigger or smaller than the current size.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll do a 10/24x7/68.7-inch. I guess they could. I don't know. I just don't buy it. And remember, Steve Jobs famously said nobody wants a 7-inch. He went on and on about.
True.
Nobody wants a 7-inch. Of course, he's said things. He used to say things like that all the time.
He has said things in the past, yeah. And then Apple has gone on to be successful
you never
in that
know.
Very market.
You never
I
know.
Guess I just, part of me totally agrees with you. My gut agrees with you. But then a part of me thinks, well, you know, the iPads, I guess you could bring down maybe first-gen iPads to something really low or even dock the price a little bit on the iPad 2.
I do believe they'll do that. I think they'll have a cheap iPad 2.
Yeah.
And then they'll have the iPad 3 with a Retina display.
Because they're only going to get 2011 wasn't a great year for a lot of iPad competitor tablets.
Right.
But they're going to keep trying, and
right.
companies are going to keep succeeding.
Right.
This is something that people do want, and they don't necessarily need to have an iPad. And the more competition you have, the more you have to think about your market. So, that's the rumor.
That's the rumor. You heard it here last.
Small iPads, we don't know. What do you think?
Know.
Let us know.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
And we'll find out. The good news is we don't have to wait long. I'm pretty sure we'll find out soon. something.
You don't buy it, but if there is a mini iPad,
you think
will
we won't
you
find
buy
out till Christmas?
Well, it's not that we won't find out till Christmas. It was more of a that's when it would be available to buy.
I had, and I loved the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7-inch. I loved it. I thought it was just the right size. Uh-huh. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I have a Kindle Fire, and I love it. And you know, as you know, I have a Galaxy Note, which is a 5-inch, and I love it.
Right.
So I like all those choices and those different mm-hmm. sizes, but I just don't see Apple doing it. I don't think Apple is big on having a lot of different versions. That's the thing that Steve Jobs brought to the company, is get rid of all, stick to a few
Do it well so people know exactly
and
what they're getting.
I don't see any reason for them to change that. They're doing really, really well.
Jenny called in, and she has an Ask Leo question. Jenny, hit it.
Leo and Sarah. This is Jenny from Idaho, and I am calling in with an Ask Leo question.
Doesn't sound like she's from Idaho.
I have an original iPad, iPad first gen, and having spent a good $700 on it a year and a half ago, I'm loath to give it up, but it is acting up. It is crashing all the time. Any app I use, if I'm lucky, I can get through a minute or two before it crashes, especially Dropbox and Netflix, which I use all the time. I'm guessing this has something to do with the iPad and not the apps. I'm wondering if Leo has any suggestions on how you can clean up or refresh your iPad in the way that you might do a computer. I'm loath to reset it because I worry I'm going to lose all the data on my apps. Let me know if you have any suggestions. I'd really appreciate it. Thanks for the great show. Bye.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny. My mom had the same problem. She had an iPad 1. She still has an iPad 1.
Yeah.
And it was crashy. So we went through a series of steps that I would recommend Jenny go through. First thing is to... and you know. The iPad is such a basic thing, but it's still a computer. And so rebooting it sometimes does help. So that means turning it off fully. And I know you all know this because you're iPad experts, but I'm just going to go through these because not everybody does. Pressing the off button like that turns off the screen, but in fact does not turn off the iPad. So the first thing to do, Jenny, is to press and hold that top button until you see the slide to turn off command here. And that will shut it off all the way. Now, that's just a shutdown, a reboot, just like with a computer where you shut it down and you reboot. There's something you can do that's even more dramatic. I would do that first. If that doesn't fix it, there's also a reset. And that involves pressing the top button and the home button at the same time and pressing it until the screen goes off and then the white Apple comes on. So this is a hard reset. So first you'll see that, which is that slide to turn off. Now it's reset. And in a moment, we're going to see the Apple come back. So that's a hardcore reboot, just like on your computer when you press the reset button. There's another thing you can do, and that is to connect this to iTunes. And once iTunes sees it, do a restore. What that does is it will erase everything. So make sure you sync it before you do this so you can restore the apps and the music and whatever's on your iPad. It will restore it to factory fresh condition. That's what the next step, the third step, do a restore. And there is a fourth step that is a little more complicated. I'm not going to show you here today, called a DFU. And if you Google on YouTube iPad DFU, it will show you the steps. It involves some timing and pressing the buttons. And it is a even more hardcore reset on the iPad. It's designed for an iPad that won't boot or has some serious problems. It forces you into a mode where you'll actually see attach it to iTunes. You see, he's going to do it. Now, it involves pressing it for just the right amount of time on the top and just the right amount of time on the bottom. That's why it's a great idea to do this with a YouTube video, because they'll give you the exact timing if you watch the video. He's showing you right now how to do it. And what you'll get when you get that is you'll get that thing that you saw when you first took the iPad home where it said, connect me to iTunes and do a restore from there. Those are the four things you can do. If none of those help it, then indeed there may be some problems with the iPad. The fifth thing is to bring it to Apple. You know, what's great, even with an iPad 1, which is out of warranty, is that Apple often is very generous in terms of fixing or even replacing mm-hmm. iPads. The genius at the Genius Bar, we know from talking to them, has a lot of leeway. He can actually give you a whole new iPad if he really believes it's Apple's fault and it's something that they should fix, even if you're out of warranty. So be nice, and it sounds like you're a very nice person, Jenny. Bring a lollipop, a box of chocolates, a bottle of wine, whatever you think. Be very nice. Don't whine. Don't yell. be very nice, and often the genius
just
can,
call for help.
Just call for yeah. That sounds like that. The genius can actually do that. So those are the few things that will fix it. Because it's an iPad 1, I bet you it's never been restored or rebooted, and this probably will fix it.
All right, Jenny. Hopefully that helps. I was going to show off this new handy dandy app. Well, it's an add-on to an app on Live Desktop, mm-hmm. which we've talked about in the past. Although I remember I wanted to talk about it, and then I wasn't working on my iPad, so
I had it, and I've been using it. It's wonderful.
It's great.
It puts Windows and Microsoft Office on your iPad.
Yeah, exactly. So
free right now, anyway, as we speak.
Yeah, it's free on Live Desktop.
Until it's not.
Is completely free. I'll go ahead and sign in. Well, I mean, the reason I think it's going to be free is because they just rolled out a $5 a month subscription version, which includes not only access to anything that's running Flash, so Flash videos, Flash games, Flash whatever, but also internet browsing that they say will give you 1 gigabit per second. transfer up and down, basically, because they use this, it's almost like a P2P type protocol, so that you're getting your access to Windows or anything on the internet from a variety of computers that they have in the cloud. And what they do is they treat your iPad, so if you look at On Live Desktop right now, it's like I'm looking at what looks like Windows, right?
Windows,
so it's like, you know, you go ahead and, you know, open up IE. This is actually, it doesn't really work because I'm not actually paying for anything because I didn't have it set up in time before the show.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah. Totally. I totally want to check it out. But what's happening is, like, so I'm watching a video right now on via IE, right? Now, let's say I scroll past the video. So now, like, only a tiny bit of that video is still on my screen.
Yeah.
OnLive is smart enough to know, because it treats this like a video window, to only send me the data of what's actually visible.
Ah.
So that's how they get around being able to serve up data at crazy good speeds.
Why serve something that you can't see?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not how it works in regular browser windows. Right. It makes sense here. It's treating this like a video window. That's not for just any old connection. If you have, like,
it's pretty
really
remarkable.
Crappy Wi-Fi or 3G, it's not amazing.
So $5 a month, and you get more storage, right?
Yes. It is... I'm actually not sure if you're paying for more storage. I think that you get the... It's 2 gigabytes free, I think, storage in the free version. Gosh, is that true?
I'm having a network problem.
You are? Sorry. But anyway.
You know, it's wild. I mean, this is, as you said, this is Internet Explorer.
Isn't that funny?
On an iPad. It's just very, very strange. They do give you a fully licensed, full version of Microsoft Office. Now, I don't know if you've been following these rumors that Microsoft will release an Office for the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about it on Windows Weekly today.
Yeah, we talked about it on TNT as well. Yeah, we've been following the rumors, the daily, for anybody who isn't familiar with the story, who has an iPad news application. The daily came across what they said they knew was a working prototype of the upcoming Microsoft Office for iPad.
They claimed they were showed this by a Microsoft employee.
And whether they were or not, we don't know. Let's give daily the benefit of the doubt. Microsoft came back and was in so many. They never actually denied
it. It was a non-denial. And Mary Jo Foley wrote a little bit about it in her blog, All About Microsoft.com, and talked about it on Windows Weekly today. And she said, no. I've heard these denials from Microsoft before. It is absolutely the case. There will be Office for the iPad. We don't know how much it will be. It will look, that screenshot was not what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Microsoft said. It's not a picture of a existing product, they said. They didn't deny it. It was a non-denial. So, in fact, it's a confirmation. Yes, there will be Office for the iPad. We don't know when.
But what's weird about it is that Microsoft went to the length to say, the daily, they have bad information. You're going to see in a couple of weeks that they're not right. So it's like, if they really do come out with an iPad app, they're just going to look so silly.
You got to parse it carefully.
Yeah, it's all...
It was a non-denial.
Carefully worded stuff.
Yep.
So...
I consider it a confirmation, believe it or not.
But the thing with OnLive is... I would love to have more of a Metro style Microsoft issued iPad.
It will be a very much of a tablet.
Yeah, I would love to have that because I don't really have a chance to use Windows much. But this is like just having a Windows
machine.
It's
real. You get the ribbon and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tiny bit laggy, and there are certain things here. I'll open Word really quick, so you get the sense of, like, this is not even a tablet-y version of Word. It's as
it's Word.
I mean, it's Word, right?
It's
you know,
so
and
weird.
You can zoom
and
in to
you have
a
non-iPad
stuff.
Keyboard. I think we showed this before, right? I mean, you get if you start typing, you'll
yeah.
get... You'll get
it's actually,
Microsoft's
I'm not,
keyboard.
I'm not crazy about it, but it is more
It has a Windows
like that,
key.
Yeah, yeah. It's more that keyboard that you might be familiar with. So,
right.
you know, that's good. It's also the sort of thing where I think David Pogue pointed it out on the New York Times article about this, that this is the sort of thing a stylus would really come in handy for because these
right.
buttons are really small. Yeah.
Well, and that's why I do believe that there will be an iPad app from Microsoft that is, in fact, touch-oriented. We know there'll be one for Windows 8. In fact, they've even said it will come with Windows 8
mm-hmm.
For ARM,
right.
their version, which they'll show off. They're going to show off in a week on February 29th. So I think a lot more will be known soon.
Absolutely. OnLive Desktop, just a reminder, is totally free. You can download that and have Windows at your fingertips. The $5 a month version is it's browsing and flash capability. And for a lot of people, you know, earlier today, I was like, all right, well, let me look up something on Flash and see if it works. It's like I've gotten so used to just not going to Flash sites that I really had to think about it. Where can I find a Flash video?
So you could do it on there.
Yeah.
That's
but
so
many
wild.
Of you do want that. And we
right.
know that. So this could
That's
be a good
wild.
Solution for you.
That could for nothing for no other reason than running Flash on an iPad download
Correct.
Online. Correct. It's
free. Something a lot of Why people not? Are interested in doing. I mentioned earlier in the show that we're going to try to keep better tabs on the comments that you leave us in each episode page on our website's comment section. And we did get a comment on our discussion last week about the Path privacy address book debacle from UK Haiku, that's show 85 if you haven't seen it, who says, I'm kind of disagreeing with you on the data issue. I don't know if you have an equivalent in the US, but here in the UK and more widely in Europe, we have something called the Data Protection Act. I have to give some thought to this as part of my work as a software designer. The golden rule is to only use the data for what you tell the customer you'll use it for. There are a whole host of other considerations around data retention, but that's the main one. It's a huge breach of trust.
But wait a minute.
What?
They said, would you like us to look for context in your address book? They told you they were going to do that.
Well,
this is no, it completely, exactly sticks to the rule of the law.
Well,
the
updates tell you.
Now they do.
He's talking about
when
update.
You click the button that says, "Well, I don't know."
Apps do.
Maybe
tell
they'll
you
get
this.
Sued. No, but even before you clicked a button that said "Find Path users in my contacts," that's saying, "Look in my contacts." Is it not?
Well,
that's telling you're giving them permission to do that. This is the thing. They didn't do it without you asking them to do it first. You said, "Look in my contacts." Now, what you didn't say is upload my contacts and keep them for a while. And they could get in trouble for the retention part. That's the issue.
Sure.
But you are giving explicit permission for them to look at your contacts.
I think what UK Haiku is talking about was what he might have perceived us to be sort of like a, hey, you just got to know that apps do these sorts of things and that's what make apps work. And if you don't like it, you shouldn't use these apps. And if we came across that way, I mean, that's probably more flippant than we wanted to be. I mean, that is sort of part of the deal. It's like, you have to know how apps work, and you have to use your good judgment. If you've got a bunch of contacts, that's how it's accessing them, and that's why the app works nicely. But I think his point is that it's not a non-issue. It is an issue.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that people
need to care
about.
We didn't say it was a non-issue. It's an issue. You should know about it, and they should let you know. And I think we said that they did the right thing by letting you know.
Yeah. He says... He's also concerned about the security of the data, and that's actually my bigger problem, really.
Right.
It's not so much that I don't trust the company.
Right.
Most of the apps I'm using on a regular basis is because they're really cool apps, and I believe in the company, and I want them to succeed, and I don't think that they're screwing me over. It's if there's another company, third party, whoever, who could get access to that data and do something bad with it, that's what I want the company to be able to
But that's true
to secure.
All the time.
Yeah.
You give your credit card to Amazon. I mean, it's true all the time.
But that's the thing. You trust Amazon, but you wouldn't trust just any website who wanted your credit card
right.
information to ship you something. So that's, again, where
sure
the judgment comes into play.
Do you not often use credit card companies with new companies? Credit cards with new companies?
I don't do that much online shopping, but...
I do. I do it all the time. So I go to eBags. I don't know who eBags is, but I want a bag. I give them my credit card.
eBags?
Yeah.
You don't look for any of that, like, VeriSign secured?
That's BS anyway. All that stuff's BS. It's meaningless.
Okay, well, then the next time
I think we do it all
someone
the time.
Takes your identity, you'll know why.
Anyway.
I don't know. I, I'm not really
that
paranoid about
it. Do you ever give your credit card to a waiter? Does it ever disappear for minutes at a time?
Oh, okay. Yes, we could have this. We could have.
I'm just saying, people do it all the time. I don't understand why they're all of a sudden head up. When you click a button that says, please look through my contacts to see if anybody's a member of PATH, you are telling PATH, look at my contacts, whether you upload them or not. You're saying, look at my contacts. You're giving them permission.
Yes, I understand that. It's all right. Well, we're agree to disagree. We're not even really disagreeing.
No, we're not disagreeing.
I'm just saying,
I think they should notify you.
I don't think the waiter at the restaurant and maybe someone else looking over his shoulder is quite the same thing as somebody.
No. In fact, what waiters do is they have this little thing in their jacket that they just swipe it and they give it back to you, and now they have a copy of all that information which
right.
they sell.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
That's why people go into the food industry, actually,
yeah.
is to steal your
it's
identity.
Not the tips.
No, it's certainly
tell you that
not the
right
tips.
Now. Not me, anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm not tipping.
Buck 50. That's it.
What'd you give me besides a smile? I asked for more bread.
I find it difficult because I do think that we get so much benefit from smartphones and iPads and all this stuff. And people really want to lock them down. When you're putting your personal information and your family's personal information on a device that is always connected to the internet, you might want to think about that before you get this device. Because there's nothing really going to protect you, especially a law that the EU passes is not going to protect you. So you're kind of participating in this economy just by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't use your credit card at a restaurant. You should pay only cash. There are risks.
There are risks. Maybe yeah. UK Haiku, since he did say that he's in software development and thinks about this sort of thing on a daily basis, has a bit of a different perspective when he
feels. We're not saying there are other ways they could have done it or they shouldn't have done it. Or whatever, but I mean, you know, you're saying look through my addresses. Don't get upset when they do.
Well, I think that this is also an emerging market.
It is.
So there are certain things that are going to have to be ironed out. And in 5 years, there's going to be a lot more cut and dry rules that apply to apps.
That's what scares me.
And to permissions.
That's kind
and so
of what
forth.
Scares me.
Why?
Because I don't want these governments telling us what we can do, where the innovation can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because people say, well, you know, women, I want to be able to use the internet without anybody knowing what I'm doing. Sorry. So it's not the government's job to protect you when you're doing something that is inherently not private.
Right.
Anyway,
it's
it's a conundrum.
Let's move on to a video about file sizes. They're too big.
Hey, guys, this is Sherman. I love the show. My question is...
He does look like his dog.
On iPad 2, you know, you take a video, and if it's, over 2 minutes long or something like that, it won't let you email the whole video. It wants you to break it up. And my question is there any app or any way that I can take the whole video, like a 5-minute video or even a 10-minute video, and email it all at once without breaking it up?
No.
So,
no.
If y'all could help us out, I appreciate it. And again, I love the show. I've been watching ever since the Sledgehammer days of the Screensavers.
Oh, that's great.
So, y'all have a good one and keep up the good work.
You too, but what's your dog's name?
Oh, he never said.
Squeaky. Squeaky. Hey, Squeaky. No. Yeah, I have bad news. You can't email a 10-minute video.
But there's other ways you could do this.
Sure.
You could upload it to YouTube, send a link.
Yes.
You could put it on Dropbox and send a link.
Indeed, or Box.net right. or a variety of cloud storage services.
There's two reasons Apple doesn't let you do this. One is they're protecting the cell carriers. So, you know, it's true if you're on Wi-Fi, it's your bandwidth, but I think it generally just trying to keep people from sending too much data over the network to protect the cell carriers. And the other is to protect the person who's getting it. You know, it wasn't so long ago, and I think it's still the case in some cases, that people only had 10 megabytes total for their inbox
mm-hmm.
and email. So you start sending them gigabyte files, they're not going to be happy. So it really isn't appropriate to attach giant videos to your email. Just don't do it. Upload it and send a link. That's the best thing to do. Even on a desktop, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah. That's how we like people to send us videos,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah.
It's just easier that way because then we just have a reference. And
yeah.
It's just it's easier overall. So thank you, Sherman, and your unnamed dog for the video. You can always send us videos. We love videos, voicemails, emails.
Love that.
Yeah. iPadToday@twit.tv, of course, is where you can send us an email. Our voicemail is... 757-504-IPAD. I almost said 2626.
You never call
That's
it.
A different
You never
show.
Call it. You don't know.
Yeah.
You have many numbers.
So many numbers. 757-504-IPAD. 4723. That's our Google Voice number. And thank you, everybody who participates. All the feedback, all the questions, all the app suggestions, everything. We love it. Couldn't do the show without you.
By the way, Shermtech says the dog's name is Bandit.
Bandit!
And that's a perfect name for that dog.
It is. Yeah. A very bandity dog.
Hey, this show brought to you, as usual, by Slingbox, those great people at Slingbox who really are doing a great job bringing your television set up, your DVR, your satellite or cable box, your DVDs, your Blu-ray, to the internet so you can watch your home system wherever you go. Not just on a computer, but on your iPad, on your iPhone, on your Android phone or tablet. It's just great on the iPad. Slingbox doesn't charge you a penny more for watching this. You know, there's no monthly fee. You get to watch your home TV system with the games, the shows, everything you want right there on your iPad. It really looks great. Anywhere you can get an internet signal. So, for instance, nowadays you can go to a stadium. Games, they often have Wi-Fi at the stadium. You can watch replays on your iPad. Next time you're at a wedding, bring the iPad. You can watch the fight.
Maybe you can't be home for the Oscars on Sunday. You're going to be traveling.
I'm at the airport.
And
guess
maybe,
what I'll be doing?
Yeah. You're going to the airport on Sunday?
I'm flying to Seattle right during the Oscars. It just drives me crazy.
So this is perfect for you
it's
then
perfect.
Because you could DVR it at home and then you can watch it.
That's
just as
do.
If you were at home with
as
your Slingbox.
As if you're reading my mind.
Well, I
will watch
know
Joan Rivers at the airport. Then I'll
it's
get on the plane
scary.
And then I'll start the DVR when I get into the hotel. It's just fantastic. But now here's how this works. You get a Slingbox for your home system. They sell them at Best Buy, Amazon, or Slingbox.com. And you connect it up to all of that stuff and to the internet. And that's the key. So that Slingbox is a pass-through device that will put all of that content on the internet, password protected. You log in. Download the app for your iPad or your iPhone or whatever you've got, and you can watch. It's so fantastic. Find out more at slingbox.com/twit. Slingbox is available at Best Buy and Amazon, or find out more at slingbox.com/twit.
Yeehaw, Leo.
You're
going to go down?
Well,
the
I feel like, you know, after that privacy discussion, I need some protection.
Oh, yeah, your hat's on backwards.
Oh, that fits much better.
That's a nice hard hat. You're
you know
ready
where,
for
you know
CES
what it
2012.
It's when it says ready for CES.
Well, yeah, you've been ready for a while, haven't you?
Actually, this came to me from a retired LAPD SWAT officer. This is the tactical squad helmet that they wear on the SWAT squad. And I thought, hey, I'm going to be ready for CES. So I did. I wore this the whole time at CES. Maybe you didn't notice. I put my wig over it.
Well, it's neat how you can make it invisible when you want to. Because I never noticed on any of the shows. I only knew because you told me.
We wear app caps. Why, Sarah Lane?
Because on each episode of iPad Today, Leo and I each choose an app that we love. It's our app cap pick of the week.
Yeah.
I'll start. My app cap was actually suggested to me by J.M. Wortham on Twitter. Thank you, J.M. This is Travelocity.
Oh.
Travelocity is near and dear to me. I've made many flight, hotel, rental car plans via Travelocity, but they never had an app until recently. The iPad app has one glaring flaw right off the bat, and that's it's only in portrait mode. Why is that?
Why
I don't
is that?
Know, Travelocity. That's really weird. That said, okay, so if you can get over that part of it, sorry, my iPad's really dirty right now. It's actually pretty cool. So let's just go to flights. This is what I would need more often than not. I've gone ahead and just already added in that I'm going to fly from SFO to Austin. I'm interested in South by Southwest. So I go ahead and say go. I have my dates I want to depart. One person, I want to fly coach because I'm not a high roller. And they're going ahead and looking at flights for me in a very, very similar way that HipMunk would do. And, you know, I'm a huge HipMunk fan. So I don't, you know, I always have a hard time saying which flight search is better because they're kind of all pulling from the same databases. It's just how they display the information. So I see this is, you know, in order of price that there's a U.S. Airways flight. It leaves, really late and it has like one stop. And okay, let's say I want to choose that. I'll go ahead and now select my departure. This is, again, based on the departure date that I already told it. It's very, very similar to how Travelocity would work online. Three seats left at this price. Ooh, okay, yeah, I really want that flight. And then you go ahead And you can book this flight for this price. This is actually only the price for the departing flight, I believe. If I go ahead and book this flight, I'm not actually going to book anything because I haven't put in my credit card information yet. By the way, Travelocity is one of those companies I would give my credit card.
I love
feel
them.
Comfortable with Travelocity enough to do that.
I think they're great.
So they'll, yeah, here's my little rundown. The little gnome is in pretty much every screen, and I don't know. That's fine. I mean, I like gnomes, but I think it's a little kind of
like
gimmicky.
Gnomes. You do like gnomes.
A little gimmicky.
Yeah,
but
that's the Travelocity gnome.
But that's their, yeah, it's the, yeah, the Travelocity gnome. That's, yeah, you know, that's part of their thing. Sorry, yeah, my hat's in the way. I don't know why.
Because it's got a big brim.
We're at kind of a funny angle today. Again, hotels. I want to choose a hotel. You want my current location?
Sure.
Yes, I'm okay with you knowing that, Travelocity.
I see you're giving them a lot of information.
Yeah,
I hope you know what you're doing.
I want to search hotels near Petaluma.
Travelocity now knows you're in Petaluma.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So you get the idea. This also goes for cars. And then, of course, if you are a Travelocity member, meaning it's not anything you have to pay for, but where you're actually booking a lot of stuff.
Look how cheap a hotel is in Petaluma.
Look at that. America's Best Value Inn. I have a feeling I wouldn't want to stay there, but that's just me.
You know the best place to stay, Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you.
I don't think it's a Motel 6 anymore. Remember, it used to be a Motel 6 because it was $6 a night.
I know.
Well, I don't remember that, but that's what my parents told me.
Did.
They're really old.
It used
so
to
Leo
be $6 a night. Yeah, that's when the Academy Awards were on Monday.
And then, of course, if you use Travelocity often, then you've got a My Trip section so that you can, you know, log into a variety of trips if you're going to a lot of places at once. I love this. Again, I'm a huge Hipmunk fan, and Hipmunk did just add hotels. It used to be just flights. But Travelocity is a little bit more of that established company. They've got rental cars. You have a bunch of trips that you can save. It, as far as I can see, is pretty much the same experience you would get on the web, you know, on your desktop browser. So it's great stuff. And of course, it's free. The flights you have to pay for, and it's really expensive to go to Austin right now.
The flights are not free. Just
so
you know.
Wouldn't that be nice,
though? Wouldn't that be nice? Now, if you can find an app that does that.
Full disclosure. I don't want users to be confused because I didn't give them full disclosure on the show.
Right.
That they'd have to pay for the
flights. You have to pay for the flights.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get junk mail?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
I hate it.
Every U.S. household on average receives 850 pieces of junk mail every single year. That's a total of 100 billion pieces of junk mail, and almost half of it ends up in the landfill. All these catalogs. I get many more than a couple a day. I probably the mailman brings me this many every single day.
Well, and you get so mad because it's such a waste.
And
you're
I don't
not
want
to read them.
And I could get it on the internet.
It's so infuriating.
Wouldn't it be nice if there were an application for your iPad, your iPhone, your Android phone, even for your Windows phone, that would let you, this would be wild, wouldn't it? Take a picture of the stuff that you didn't want. Let's just take a picture of that. And then, there you go, there's a nice picture of it. And then just tell them, hey, don't send him that anymore. There is. I want to thank our chat room for this. This is Paper Karma, and it is amazing. So it was created by two entrepreneurs in Seattle. They have a giant database of junk mail. The truth is the junk mail people don't want to send you catalogs if you don't want them. So Paper Karma, I mean, this is incredible, will let you take pictures of your junk mail. Now, you set it up ahead of time with your address, and you sign into your Facebook so it has some information about you. And that is so that you don't have to give them their address. You just, they look it up. All you have to do is take a picture that is in some way identifying of the stuff that you don't want. They'll look it up in their database, and they will send a request to that vendor, don't send me this stuff anymore.
Why will they do this to you for free?
Because they are conscientious people.
No.
I suspect, I don't know, it doesn't say, they're just two guys, but I would guess that they are probably getting some money from the Direct Mail Marketing Association that doesn't really want to send this stuff to people.
Oh, I see. It's not free. It's free
it's on
right
sale
now.
Right now. Maybe
yeah.
They'll, but you know what? Get it now. It just came out a week ago.
Oh my gosh. I'm downloading it now.
It is fantastic. They, your information, in case you're curious, is kept securely on Amazon's servers. All web server activity via SSL. They do need your mailing address, the one that the junk mail is going to, and you know your phone number. And I think that that's just so they can identify the device that you're using. When you take a picture,
You don't have to include your name and address. They don't need that. They already know that. Just capture any information that would say who this came from. So I have a lot of, I'll do another one. Shall I do another one?
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. And by the way, it keeps track of everything that you've taken pictures of. And you saw that I did this one. It will notify you. It'll put it in the success when it's done. So this is I put enough information so that they could see, oh, that came from 4imprint. That's all they need. Is this
so
brilliant?
You just have to really, really hope that at no point Paper Karma will sell your information to.
See, this is why I'm saying.
I'm saying.
Not,
I'm not really.
You won't have any innovation if people have
paranoid.
That attitude.
I'm just.
You're just.
I am
forget
echoing
it.
What I.
You don't
know
think these guys already know all about you?
I just.
All right, I'm doing another one.
Say it out loud.
Never going to get that again.
Never gonna
Let's see.
Here.
Music Connection, informing music people since 1977.
I don't know
Who
why you
cares?
Won't want that.
So just keep this. Your iPad is already on your coffee table. Bring your junk mail in. Take your pictures. And then you will never get this stuff ever again. I'm going to use that. Time Magazine, I think I'll keep that. DJ Times, America's first magazine for professional DJs.
That's good.
You want to keep getting
no,
that?
No, I don't want that.
No.
I'm not so a professional DJ. A it's not
right.
for me.
Exactly. It's not for us.
Paper, that's great. It is free right
Isn't
now.
Isn't this brilliant?
So get it while it's hot. I
just,
can't imagine
I literally
charge too much for it otherwise. But
just went through that whole pile of junk mail. And in 30 minutes or so, they're going to send me a note saying, yep, we handled it. We're done.
So if they do handle it, let's definitely revisit this in the next couple of months.
You want to talk next week?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
What do you think? You think they're going to sell my stuff?
No, I'm not saying that they will. I'm just saying that that would suck because they also have your address
now.
They're
not going to sell my stuff. They say they're not going to sell my stuff.
Well, they say a lot. That's it for this edition.
Why don't you get off the internet? Just get off the internet.
I'm going to go to one of them places in West Virginia where they don't have Wi-Fi.
Dig a hole. And live in it from now on.
I will.
You can have this helmet.
See ya. This is my final day at Twit. No, I'm just kidding. No, but this is the end of iPad Today because we've come to
this
the end of
heavy.
Our hour. And then some.
Wow.
And you're wearing a very hard hat.
Hard as can be.
You're like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle with that thing. thank you, everybody, for watching. We will be here next week, same time, same place. In the meantime, go to twit.tv/IPT. If you want to watch any of our shows, get any additional information, subscribe, comment, rant, rave, or anything.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Else. Tell Leo he's wrong, because he is.
Yeah.
About a lot.
I admit it. I'm wrong about everything.
Of stuff.
Everything. See you later, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.